Before you cast your ballot for the May 19th election, learn more about your Democratic Secretary of State candidates. Today, we'll be speaking with candidates Jamie McLeod Skinner and Mark Haas. Check our website if you missed yesterday's interview with State Senator Shamia Fagan. Mark Haas is an Oregon State Senator from District 14 in Washington County. Before public service, he worked as a journalist for many years. Haas is known for being a tax expert in the State Senate and was the architect of the recently passed Student Success Act, which establishes a corporate activity tax to fund K-12 education. Let's listen. To get started, last time you spoke with the KBOO News was back in January when the Secretary of State race and Oregon more generally was very different. Since the onset of COVID-19, has your approach to the race or your policy ideas, changed at all?
Well, the policy goals are still the same. I still have a 90-day agenda of things we have to do to overhaul the Secretary of State's office and add some innovations. I think if there's one thing on that list that has changed, it is that my first order of business had been the Student Success Act because it was so complex, and I would make my first audit instead of that, and that's still being an important one, but the first one has to be on the state's level of preparedness in an emergency, because we've seen what this pandemic can do to shake all of our state government institutions and their preparedness and their computer systems and their communication systems. And I'm particularly disturbed at the rickety old computers in the employment division. I've been spending most of my time in my current job as a state senator and just helping people get through and get their claims processed. Almost 400,000 Oregonians now are out of work, and now they have to sit on hold for 2 hours and still not be able to make their claim. And so I want to find out what happened there, in particular, how it is that the state received federal money to upgrade systems 10 years ago, and we still have what we have.
Right. We'll talk a little bit more about audits later, but the Secretary of State wears a lot of hats in Oregon government, including obviously the audits division, but managing elections is often the first that comes to mind for people. What do you see as the biggest threat to our electoral security at the moment?
Well, the biggest threat is the database that holds 2.8 million registered voters. Right now, that database is in compliance with federal law in terms of its firewalls and protection. But the technology experts that I've been working with and the people on my team say that is nowhere near as secure as it should be. And I don't want our elections system tested in an emergency like those employment division computers were. I want to make sure that we have a system where voters and their registrations are protected. If someone comes in and knocks out 5,000 people from registered voters, then they don't get their ballots. And you can see very quickly how this will interfere with our elections. What if we can't certify a state election because 5,000 people didn't get a ballot, and you know, we were voting for a governor or a U.S. senator? I'm not going to allow that to happen on my watch. Frankly, I'm surprised that it's gotten to the point of where it is now. And so that is absolutely job one, is to shore up the technology for our database of registered voters.
So you've proposed a few different electoral innovations, including opening primaries up to unaffiliated voters and also day of voter registration. But perhaps the most radical proposal is ranked choice voting. Can you walk us through that?
Certainly. Ranked choice voting, at least I've concluded, and I think others, gives, I think, communities a better representative candidate in the end than their current winner-take-all system. And really what it is just what it sounds like. You rank your choices in terms of your preference. So if you have three or four candidates out there, you say, here's my first choice, here's my second choice, here's my third choice. And those are all tabulated until someone, the bottom person gets, the bottom candidate gets tossed out. And then that candidate's choices go to the others until finally somebody gets 50%. And I think the thing that got me most interested in this is it creates a huge disincentive for negative campaigning. And if you think about it, it makes sense. You don't want to sling mud on your opponent, because now you want your opponent's second place votes. So not only are you going to run a positive campaign, you're going to reach out beyond your base and try to get everybody's vote. And at least that's been the experience in states and local jurisdictions that have tried it. It minimizes negative campaigns. And we'll see what happens right here in Oregon, because Benton County voters passed it a few years ago, and this year will be their first year that they hold their local elections under ranked choice voting. I, as Secretary of State, would like to kind of take it out for a test drive with Oregon voters, give counties the authority to do this, and like vote by mail a generation ago, take it for a test drive and see if we like it, and you know, maybe go statewide, maybe not, but I think it's an excellent experiment for us to explore to see if this results in more true elections.
Yeah, so you would want to implement it. You would want to allow counties the option to use a ranked choice ballot. Is that how you would implement it?
Yes, exactly. You know, I was a journalist when in the 90s when vote by mail was being tried. Local counties and cities were trying it out, and not everybody was on board. There was a lot of skepticism. Well, the post office will lose the mail. What if somebody sends in 10 ballots? And of course, you know, as we held these local elections, none of those things happened. And it went statewide in the year 2000, and it is now arguably one of the most popular programs in state government. And it's interesting to me to hear some of that same skepticism in other states now as they look at vote by mail. And I'm hoping that we can be kind of an ambassador to bring vote by mail to all states.
Yeah, that's definitely in the public conscious right now because of the restrictions that coronavirus has put on us.
Right. Right.
So for ranked choice voting, how would it change electoral outcomes? Would it mean that third parties have a better chance in Oregon?
No, it wouldn't mean that at all. It would just mean that I guess it would mean that third parties wouldn't be a spoiler. It would mean third parties have a decent chance as well as anyone else. It just depends on who the candidate is and how popular they are. Sometimes we see elections where you're voting for the lesser of two evils. You've heard that expression a lot, and that would not happen under ranked choice voting. And you would not have a third party come in and knock out the leading contender. I mean, if you think of that Al Gore presidential campaign 20 years ago, where Ralph Nader came in and knocked out Al Gore and Bush won by that margin, you wouldn't have that dynamic anymore. So I think that's a much healthier way to elect candidate.
Very cool. Well, outside the current coronavirus crisis, much focus and emphasis has been placed on addressing climate change. And then in the legislature twice now, cap and trade regulations have failed to pass. What can the Secretary of State do to take action on climate change?
Well, the first thing I would do is, as the auditor of public accounts, which is how it's worded in the Constitution, I would make sure that climate change is part of every single audit. The audits division, I think, is in the best position to assess statewide coordination. And so I would task auditors with evaluating how agencies can more effectively work together to address climate change. So in every audit, there would be, you know, like three or four questions. Are agencies evaluating the effects of climate change on their services? Are they developing mitigation strategies? Are they reducing the effects of their own operations on carbon emissions, including their contractors? And most importantly, are the agencies collaborating, you know, on a statewide level to effectively consolidate strategic priorities around climate change? And so this would be on every single audit, whether it's a small or large agency. You know, how many of your employees are driving to work? How many are not? And all of those questions. And this would be incorporated into every single state audit. That's the most effective thing the Secretary of State can do for climate change.
Yeah, I'm curious about, once the audit like reveals that information, where does that go? What does that do?
Well, it's included in the findings of the audits. There is an audits committee in the legislature that goes through these things and acts or doesn't act, depending on the severity of the findings or the criticism. And then it's up to our legislative branch and our executive branch to take audit. The Secretary of State does not have the authority to say, oh, we found a problem, and I'm going to fix it. The Secretary of State does not have that authority. But I, as Mark Hass, have the ability and the communication know-how to make sure that if there's a problem, everybody's going to know about it. And my effect in the legislature in the last 19 years has been to affect change. And I think that's where some of my skill sets will come into play, is making sure we get some action on these audits, because one of the criticisms in previous Secretary of State office holders have been that, yes, an audit is done and it goes and sits on the shelf. That won't happen with me.
In a race for such a multifaceted position like the Secretary of State, what do you think are like the most important things for voters to keep in mind when making their decision?
Well, I think now, in the time that we're in, we want leaders who have been tested in tough times. And I was in the legislature during that recession in 2002. I was there in the Great Recession of 2008, and I was tested. And there are a lot of painful decisions that are going to have to be made in the next couple of years in state government. And I made those decisions as a legislator. You have to be diligent and make judicious decisions, but you also have to know how to look for some opportunities. For example, I passed the Oregon Promise, which is free community college for high school graduates in Oregon. And that whole concept was born out of the last recession. And that's an example of an opportunity. That recession decimated college savings plans for lots of families, and their kids needed to get on with life in a community school training or their first couple of years out of the way for a four-year degree. And so I think that's an example of an opportunity that can come out of something like this. And I think there are opportunities ahead, while there will be difficult decisions as well.
Have you found in the race that there are issues that you think don't get quite enough attention?
Oh, I'm a policy guy. I wish they all got more attention. I think this security and technology issue on our elections is really paramount. And it's not a bumper sticker issue. It's not a glamorous issue. You really have to sit down and talk to technology people and do some crisis planning. And you have to look out 5 years ahead and say, here's the ultimate goal here. And I think that is really the most important job for the person whose job it is to oversee elections in this state. I don't want a breakdown like we just saw in the employment department to happen in our elections. And I think it's paramount for the Secretary of State to get on this. And I'm surprised this work isn't being done now, but if you think about it, we've had four Secretaries of State in just the last 5 years, just, you know, through fill-ins and deaths and appointments, and nothing negative about those people who have been in there, but nobody has had that long-term vision or the energy that I would embrace as Secretary of State.
Do you have any closing thoughts for our listeners?
I just think that this is a place where independence is important, and throughout my legislative career and my years as a journalist before that, I've proven that I have the independence to do this job. I have the integrity to do it right.
Awesome. Well, Mark, thank you so much for speaking with KABU today.
You bet you. Thank you.
We've been speaking with Oregon State Senator Mark Hass, who is running for Oregon Secretary of State. More information on Hass and his candidacy is available online at markhass.com.